With the clock creeping closer to 7 a.m., the reality started to sink in a bit. This was it. The last trip through the office. No more track bulletins. No more wise-ass repartee with Nate or Bill or Sharon or Monty or whoever happened to be on shift. No more tepid coffee, no more faxes, no more bowl of almond joys. All of these little rituals and habits that had become the window dressing of his life for the past 3 decades would be gone tomorrow. Walter still hadn't cleaned out his locker. It was a point of pride to Walter that no less than 4 generations of Bergens had given themselves to the rails at some point, beginning with his great-great-grandfather, Finnegan, one of those intrepid and criminally underpaid souls who drove spikes halfway across the prairie and blasted through the mountains all the way to Promontory Point for that historic joining of the Union and Central Pacific lines. On his heels came Walter's grandfather, Emmett, 15 years a brakeman on the ONCRR. Then there was Walter's own father, Pete, first a brakeman, then a hostler, and finally, an engineer for BNSF. Walter's love affair with trains had begun before he could even walk. According to his mother, his first utterance even before Mama had been, "Toot-toot." Walter had stopped holding out hope for Wendy by the time she was out of high school. She had no interest in the railroad or diesel engines, which was sort of ironic, all things considered. Walter had taken Wendy on countless ride-alongs since the time she was a toddler. He dressed her in overalls and a striped conductor's cap, bought her wooden trains, electric trains, and the summer after her junior year in high school tried to bribe her to do an internship at Amtrak. All of these attempts had been fruitless. For the Bergens, it seemed that the railroad, more than anything else, had delivered on the promise of America. The railroad had meant freedom and opportunity and mobility. And there was no getting around the fact that Walter's retirement spelled the end of the railroad line for the Bergen name. It had never been Walter's idea to retire at 63. He'd figured he'd be running this line for another 5 years at least. Walter loved the railroad life. It was practically all he knew. Of course, the job had its drawbacks. The hours could be brutal and the shifts unpredictable. Then there was the fact that management culture had not changed since the Civil War. Hell, most of his superiors didn't know a train from a horse's ass. But every job had its drawbacks. The satisfaction that came with a job well done, the tangible result of piloting a train safely and smoothly from point A to point B, far outweighed the shortcomings. "Wally," came a familiar voice. Walter spun his head around to see Nate clutching a Garfield coffee mug, cap pulled low over his forehead. "What are you doing here?"
"I thought you were dead,"
Nate said, pleased with himself.
"Get out of here," said Walter.
But he couldn't help feeling a little pang of nostalgia watching Nate go. Good old Nate. Affable, familiar, consistent as hell. Pretty serious case of halitosis, but Walter had learned over the years how to keep just enough distance between the two of them to avoid breathing it in. It was hard to fathom that he'd smelled Nate's breath for the last time. Walter leaned against a folding table in the rear of the office for the last time and checked his forms, sipping his tepid coffee. No flags, no holdups, no obstacles. A little snow in the forecast, but surely not enough to foul up the schedule. Swilling the last of his coffee, Walter walked out the back door, tossing his paper cup in the garbage pail. Hopping off the platform and crossing the yard, Walter paused to watch the goat clatter slowly up and over the hump. God, the beautiful racket of it all. The sighing and hissing, the rattle and clack of the cars over the rails. These were the sounds that had made America the greatest country on earth. More than any other sound, Walter would miss the deafening but plaintive cry of the horns, which no matter their proximity always managed to sound far away. For this was the very sound that had captured Walter's imagination as a child. The sound of possibility. The sound of faraway places. The sound of American ingenuity.